He's the producer. He's the producer.
Tell me this. If you're actually writing an email after the camera.
No, but here's what happened.
Did you make that up?
So I got a message that she called. And I told my staff, stop. That's, that, you know, one Leonard's enough in this building. They said, no, she really did call.
She really did
call. So I called her, and she said, Nick, I want to lobby for someone on your staff. So I went. So she had actually called. And I said at the end, I said, Vera, what's your email address? I said, do me a favor. Just, she said, disregard the email I'm about to send you. So I wrote her an email and copied it. She actually did call them. So.
Maybe your staff was playing a joke on you by telling her to.
City Council will come to order. Carla, please call a roll.
Adams?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Potter?
Here. Electromind folks, prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Please read the 2 p.m. time certain.
Item 1032, adopt the South Corridor Phase 2 Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail Project, locally preferred alternative and project conditions.
Commissioner Adams.
Thank you, Mayor Potter. If we could have staff come forward. Council had the benefit of, in work session, talking through the details of this project, but suffice to say that if we are fortunate and successful in extending light rail to the state of Washington and completing this leg, we will have completed the rail strategy set out, 25, 30 years ago. So TriMet, along with PDOT and PDC in partnership with Metro and planning and a whole bunch of stakeholders have been working very hard on this. So we're going to get a quick briefing covering a lot of the same ground, but trying to answer some of the questions that came up in the council work session. Gentlemen.
Okay, good afternoon. Mauricio Leclerc with PDOT. And,
Paul Smith with PDOT.
And as the commissioner said, we'll walk very fast through the locally preferred alternative and walk through some of the recommendations that city staff has identified for you to consider. And then we have invited testimony and then public testimony. So, again, a lot of this was covered already, so here we go. Basically, the resolution calls for adopting the steering committee's locally preferred recommendation, that's the LPA, and that's in your Exhibit A, as well as accepting the recommendations of the Willamette River Crossing Partnership, which is Exhibit B in your packet, and then addressing the post-LPA work items identified in Exhibit C in a future conceptual design report that would be led by TriMet and be brought back to you as well as Planning Commission for review before the project really gets to the detailed engineering level. So again, very quickly, there were several options for this alignment and for the ultimate LPA. You can see in the map above, there were several Willamette River crossing options. The one above was the 2003, the more northern one was the 2003 locally preferred alternative. And through the process, we developed several additional alignments. And then the second issue was which alignment to go just south of Tacoma. These are the maps below, the three maps below. Two of them were to just continue near McLaughlin Main Street in the northern industrial area of Milwaukee, city of Milwaukee, and have a park and ride there with 600 spaces. The other option was, that you see in the map to your right, is to go through the Tillamook Branch Line. It's a rail track line, and that way connect to downtown Milwaukee. And the third item was to where to terminate the line. Two options there. One on the one on the LPA to your left was to terminate at Lake Road, that is at the southern tip of the downtown Milwaukee, and have a small park and ride there, or to continue for about 0.8 miles south to Park Avenue at McLaughlin at Park Avenue with 1,000 space park and ride. And the final was item was the number and location of stations as well as the park and ride locations. So what the steering committee locally preferred alternative recommends, and the city staff concurs, is the first item, the Willamette River Crossing Partnership, to have a new Willamette River Bridge for transit pedestrians and bicycles, as well as to adopt the consensus agreed upon modified Porter-Sherman alignment, which you have here to your at the bottom the map. I think we covered it last time, but a lot of work was done to get to that consensus. And then to in the northern part of Milwaukee, to go ahead with the Tillamook Branch alignment and to terminate at Park Avenue. That's the southernmost terminus with 1,000 space park and ride. However, funds cannot be found to meet the cost of the project. We could have a first phase, which would be to build a first phase from downtown Portland to downtown Milwaukee at Lake Road and have a small park and ride there. But ultimately, the goal is to go to park. And there would be about 10 stations, 8 in the city of Portland. And if you kind of walk from north to south along the map here, also in your screen, you'll have the first one would be at Lincoln by PSU in the South Auditorium area. And another one would be at South Waterfront, Porter Avenue. Then you would cross the bridge, the river, on a bridge that would accommodate pedestrian bikes again and transit, including ultimately a streetcar. And then I have another station at OMSI, and then continue along the railroad tracks and have a station at Clinton to serve the Abernathy neighborhood. And then continue cross Powell and get on Southeast 17th and have two stations there, one at Rhine with a pedestrian bridge over the tracks, and another one at Holgate by the TriMet headquarters facilities. And then at the end of 17th, the line would veer east and go between the track and the railroad tracks and the McLaughlin, and it would veer south along McLaughlin and have a station at Bybee using that overpass. And finally, the last station in the city of Portland would be Tacoma, using again the overpass there with 1,000 space park and ride. And from then on, it would go into the city of Milwaukee, and it would be a single station at Lake Road in downtown Milwaukee, and terminate at Park with 1,000 space park and ride. That's basically the line in a minute. In terms of performance, the line would generate between 23 and 26,000 daily riders. This is the year 2030. The difference in the numbers is between Lake Road and the longer extension. That would be the extra 3,000 riders. That means 9 to 12,000 new riders to TriMet, not just transferring from buses to light rail, for example. And the area is expected to have, by the year 2030, about 22,000 households and almost 90,000 jobs within a quarter mile of a station, which is your typical walking distance. In terms of the corridor, the corridor itself would experience about a 60% growth in households and about 42% growth in employment between 2005 and 2030. And the line would lead to an increased transit mode split between downtown Portland and in Milwaukee. It would double basically the transit mode split from the no build to the light rail LPA that were just before you for adoption. In terms of traffic impacts, there would be a net reduction of vehicle miles traveled, about 70,000 miles, I think, in about 460 hours of delay reductions in the corridor. That would lead into reductions in carbon emissions. Some of the issues that the LPA identifies is to recommend, in this case, combining Lincoln and Harbor stations. Originally, the study and the environmental impact statement analyzed the two stations. What we learned was that the Harbor station, which you see in the map above you, was intended to serve River Place instead of the LPA recommendation that went through River Place. But it would result in an elevated station because it needed to be located right on top of Harbor Drive and Harrison's off-ramp where the streetcar goes. So it turned out to be very expensive and $17 million and not generate much ridership. And actually, it hurt the project from a ridership perspective because it added more time and discouraged riders overall. In terms of the Willamette River Crossing, as I mentioned before, the LPA recommends the recommendations of the Willamette River Crossing Partnership, which, to mention, was chaired by Vera Katz and included stakeholders from both banks of the river as well as agencies. And some post-LPA issues to be worked on from now on would be to continue to collaborate on the OGSU's Schnitzer campus plans, as well as to continue to work on bringing the streetcar loop and the couplet that should be built in this area, as well as to amend some of the street plans and greenway plans in the area, and to improve bicycle connection and pedestrian connection to the bridge and the bridge to the greenway, as well as to deal with any kind of environmental issues that are still outstanding. And same on the OMSI and the Central East Side to coordinate with the streetcar loop as well as with the development plans in the area. That includes both OMSI and the Portland Opera, but potentially more. In terms of the bridge crossing, TriMet has begun a study, and City of Portland participates in that. And our recommendation includes to report back to Council and Planning and Design Commission on the bridge design as well as the impacts on the environmental issues, as well as navigational clearance, both horizontal and vertical, as well as how to integrate the bridge to pedestrian and bicycle connections, as well as to the greenway plan, as well as aesthetic issues that are always very important, especially in the central city. An issue that came out of the LPA was to recommend Herald Station, that is located between Holgate and Bybee stations in the northern part of the Southwood Moreland neighborhood and East Moreland, to designate it as a future station, meaning to not build it right now. That will be year 2015, but instead build the tracks with offsets to accommodate a future station when we're ready. And we will work to define what that being ready means. We define some performance measures that would tell us when we would build a station. And TriMet has done that in the past. We've come back and rebuilt some stations in the city of Portland, such as the Convention Center and, I think, Cascade Station towards the airport. Some of the issues were that Herald generated low ridership, about 1,200, I think, or 1,400 riders, and that included having a bridge over the tracks to the east side to connect to Reed College and to the neighborhoods. Just that added to the cost. So basically, by not having it right now, the project saves about $12 to $14 million because the bridge could be about $6 to $8 million. However, it also hurt cost effectiveness because it slowed down the line again. However, the Citizen Advisory Committee supports the station being built right now, as well as the neighborhoods around it do support the station. And also to finding the funds to fund the pedestrian bridge and whatever other amenities may be needed. Finally, in terms of the line, the Zacoma Station would have a park and ride, and the 2003 LPA recommended 600 spaces. The present 2008 LPA recommends 1,000 parking spaces. Our traffic analysis indicates that we can support that extra traffic. However, still traffic through local streets, and we need to continue to monitor that. Something to note is that if we terminate the line on a first phase at Lake Road, we may have to increase the number of spaces at Tacoma up to 1,250 spaces. In terms of project cost, the project varies between $1.2 billion and $1.3, sometimes $1.4, depending on how you do the calculations. And we have identified funds already that's in the table below. About $750 million would come from the federal government. That's the maximum we can ask at this time. $250 million come from state lottery bonds. About $80 to $100 million we could get the federal government to pay because they let us charge the interest to the cost, and as well as $72 million have been allocated to the line via MTIP, that's Metropolitan Transportation Impact Improvement Projects. That's regional funds, $72 million. So that leaves about $75 million for local jurisdictions and TriMet to figure out if we go to Lake, or about double, $150 million if we go to Park. However, if the Federal Transit Administration would raise a cap above that $750 million and we would get, say, 60%, then the local share would be reduced to about $120 million. And the plan is to begin a financial strategy to locate those funds and to report back to the local jurisdictions by the end of 2008, and report also as well to the state legislature on the funding strategy. final slide, there's a lot of work to be done, and staff has identified post-LPA work program, and that's in Exhibit C, and basically requesting TriMet to work with the city to develop a conceptual design report that would be to report back to council on the optimal station location in an effort to maximize development opportunities and access in the area. Lincoln would be an example. The consolidation of Lincoln and Harbor, we need to finalize what the right location would be. And we will work with the local stakeholders and do technical analysis for that, as well as to integrate light rail with OHSU, OMSU, and other plans on both sides of the river, and design a bridge that balances aesthetic goals, environmental and navigational concerns, minimize property impacts. There are several, over 40 potential full acquisitions and over 40 partial acquisitions. We need to work to minimize property impacts and to the best of our ability, as well as to mitigate traffic in some areas and freight access to industrial areas. Again, report back to City Council, PDC, and Planning and Design Commission on the bridge design and the conceptual design report. And as I just mentioned, to develop a financial strategy for the project and to initiate final environmental studies and preliminary engineering. And that will take about a year until 2010, and following that will be the final design and engineering and construction, and the line would open up at 2015. So that's basically the presentation.
I had a question about the transportation performance slide.
Sure.
What is that based on? Is that some future out year at year 15 of the system?
Yeah, it's 2030 numbers. Basically, we use metro models, the land use changes in the corridor from the year from now to 2030, based on zoning that is allowed today on our comprehensive plan. That resulted in about 22,000 households and 89,000 jobs in the future. And then we run a third transportation model that determines how many of those people will take the car versus take the buses versus take the light rail in this case, or walk, or whatever destination they have to go. So that it's a very complex and thorough process that Metro undergoes, and they're a lead agency in this type of analysis.
So all these numbers represent new homes, new businesses, new jobs.
Yeah, it's basically the future in Portland in 2030.
So the only part, I sort of figured that until I looked at the first two figures. One was about the daily riders.
Sure.
And the second was about new system riders. Mm-hmm. It sounded like the other remainder were already riding.
Yeah, there's a shift between buses to light rail as well as, but in this case, this project would, in addition to that, would generate about 12,000 new system riders, basically riders that otherwise would use other modes.
Out of the 22,000 new households and 89,000 new jobs?
Sure. Actually, more. 59%
are new.
Yeah. I mean, about half of them would be new riders to TriMet. Potentially more than the numbers that you had before, because it would capture also folks that would drive further and use the park and ride facilities. Along the corridor, there's about an increase in 100,000 jobs and about 50,000 households if you expand the boundary of the corridor. So there's a lot of market there for light rail that will be tapping into via people walking to the station or biking to the stations or driving to the park and ride facilities.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, gentlemen. Invited testimony, we have a Metro Councilor Robert Liberty, TriMet General Manager Fred Hansen, and Planning Commission President Don Hansen. Oh, there he is. Hi, Don. Followed by Howard Shapiro. Councilor Liberty.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council. My name is Robert Liberty. I'm a member of the Metro Council. In the last 18 months, I've chaired the steering committee for this project. I want to begin by acknowledging the work and leadership done by Bridget Wehart, sitting here in the front row, who has supervised this project and I think has done a fantastic job. I also want to thank your staff and the staff at ODOT, at TriMet, Clackamas County. for their participation in this project. I also want to thank a group that I don't think is acknowledged enough in this process, which are the citizens. The citizens who turned out at all the open houses, all the hearings, who made the project better, who provided great advice on everything from the alignment to the location of stations, the design of stations, and how to make the project a safer project for both the community and the users of the project. And they really have added value to this effort. Also thank Brian Newman, my predecessor as chair of the steering committee and a longtime advocate of this project. This project has a 15-year history, 15 years. After the first line was built, discussion began on the south-north line. And it was always assumed there would be a line through southeast Portland into Clackamas County. And this line has had the support of residents of southeast Portland, or most of the residents, from the very beginning. And so they're anxiously awaiting its construction. In addition to the statistics you've heard, I want to mention a few others that are of interest and importance. 22,000 new households will be in walking distance of light rail if this line is built, and 85,000 employees will be within walking distance of this line. It will facilitate the growth of 15,000 new jobs in the waterfront, 5,000 new homes in the south waterfront. And about the new bridge, we tend to forget that the new bridge is not carrying just light rail, but also the streetcar, buses, pedestrians, and cyclists. In fact, 14,000 bus riders in southeast Portland will have a shorter trip as a result of this project, and that is a very substantial benefit that we shouldn't overlook. It will facilitate the creation of a science education corridor across the river between OMSI, OHSU, and PSU. In a time with gas prices as high as they are and a concern about our planet's future, this new line will save about 70,000 miles of travel a day. And that is a significant contribution, I believe, to the goal set in Oregon to reduce our greenhouse gases. Finally, something about money. Oh, one other statistic. Project will increase the use of transit for work trips from the corridor to downtown Portland by up to 24%. So people coming from the southeast of Milwaukee, 24% more transit ridership than the share now held. About money, we always have to be concerned about money for this and other projects. The good news is that thanks to leadership and Brian Newman and others, and I certainly TriMet, in particular, the legislature two sessions ago confirmed the use of lottery money to the tune of $250 million for the projects. And we hope reasonable expectation based on sterling performance with past projects of $750 million from the federal government. And then a vote at the Joint Policy Advisory Committee on Transportation and Metro of another $72 million, leaving about $200 million left in the way of a gap to cover, which we think is entirely possible to cover. And I'm not going to step on any toes by suggesting any amounts, but obviously City of Portland is a major beneficiary, and we expect to be a generous participant in financing of the project. Finally, about I think Commissioner Adams talked about what this represents, not just about creation of a line, south-north line, but 40 years ago, we had a debate over a freeway. That freeway would have gone through where my house is now. In fact, we wouldn't have been on one of the lanes, but, you know, they typically have a slope with bark dust on it and some junipers. That's where
mine,
the
would have gone through mine, too, actually.
Yeah. So, and there was a decision made that there would be a balanced investment in widening the Banfield and then developing a light rail system. And with, I guess, the exception possibly the Barber line, this and the action taken in the CRC really realizes that vision much more rapidly than I think anyone would have anticipated when the first light rail car ran in 1986, that we would be on the verge of completing a system. And it's a substantial system for a mid-sized metropolitan area. I heard the mayor of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, speak with chagrin about their inability to get a single project underway during a roughly the same period we're moving toward a 50 to 60 mile light rail system. So this is an exciting moment, and I hope and expect we'll have full support from all of you for this important project. And if I leave, it's not because I'm not interested in hearing more, but there's a hearing going on about another important project at Metro across the river. thank you very much for your time.
Does it include a bridge?
What was that?
Does it include a bridge?
It would always include a bridge. The question is, new or existing? Since it's not a metaphor.
So, Robert?
Yes.
Before you leave, I just have to ask you, since you mentioned Barber, is Barber next? Has that become the next line, that logical place for light rail to go?
Well, there are...
Fred may want to comment on that, too.
Fred, I, you know,
since
Fred's,
you're the Metro
Fred's
counselor,
color is changing as we discuss this, but I think the design, the next generation, the design of the system is something we really need to think about. So I'm going to hold answering one way or another, because what I'd like to see is how much money do we have, how do we design the system, and the role of buses is very important for a lot of the region. How many people have access to that system? I think, you know, there's a lot of people expect a line in Barber, and I know at least in recent past, Mayor Tigert certainly expects a line. So it may be logical, but what I'd like us to, all of us to do is to think about how much money we have, how do we design the entire system in the, over the next 20 or 30 years.
And Council might recall that at my request, we appropriated money to do rail planning within the city, which looks at both corridors for potential streetcar and or light rail expansion and a consideration of future corridors around bus planning. That now goes to concentric circle, wider circle with the region before the whole thing sort of comes back to all the decision-making bodies. And that will serve as the rail strategy for the next 25, 30 years. So the planning work for that is underway with all these jurisdictions.
I think the other one of the issues, Commissioner, is that in the discussion we've had with the Metro Council, we've talked about the need to link the suburban centers, the regional centers directly as well. This project actually creates some potential for doing that, and the commuter line that will be opening in the fall in Washington County is a step. So that's part of an architecture for the whole region. We need to think about it. And in that context, I hope we do have a good discussion about Barber alignment.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for your time. Pardon me for leaving.
Take care, Robert.
Thanks, Robert. Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and City Council. For the record, I'm Fred Hansen, General Manager of TriMet, and I am pleased to be able to be here to support the action that's on your calendar for the approval of the locally preferred alternative. My board, the TriMet board, took action to approve that locally preferred alternative on July 9th, and other jurisdictions will proceed. First, I do want to be able to thank Commissioner of Transportation Sam Adams for his leadership on this, on the steering committee as well, the committee that Robert Liberty chairs. Also to Sue Keel, the director of the PDOT, as well as her staff, just a lot of good, very good partnerships. In the interest of time, I will not repeat much of what you've heard, although I certainly would second the issues around ridership, the price of gasoline, the opportunities to be able to connect with a very important part of the region, to be able to have those jobs and residences be able to connect. But I would like to be able to focus for just a moment on a bridge for the 21st century, not to the 21st century, but it is truly, I think, an opportunity to be able not only have a signature bridge to be built, but it is an opportunity to be able to have an alternative mode bridge. As has been noted, but I would like to reemphasize, this is a bridge that will carry light rail. Because of the nature of the track and the electrification, it will be able to carry streetcar. It will carry the pedestrian and bike, and particularly I want to be able to emphasize that we oftentimes think of the Hawthorne Bridge, wide pedestrian and bike lanes of 10 feet, as being quite attractive, at least when you compare that to what's on the Selwood Bridge or Ross Island, with only one very narrow sidewalk. Here, we will have a minimum of 12 feet for the pedestrian bike pathways, and it just seems to me that's particularly important. Lastly, and very importantly, it will carry buses, TriMet buses. Those that are, in fact, on the Ross Island Bridge, the 9, the 17, and the 19, carry substantial loads of individuals. And by bringing them onto the bridge, we will make those bus riders have shorter trips for the distance than going through both the congested elements of the Ross Island Bridge, but particularly that spaghetti-like fashion on the west end that is very congested. And this is obviously a benefit. I might note that it is also particularly important in relationship to the federal government and their participation. These are monies that we're applying for that aren't formula monies, but rather discretionary funds that are allocated on a competitive basis by the Federal Transit Administration, a part of the U.S. Department of Transportation. One of the factors they look at is the benefit in terms of time saved by transit users. And although we certainly have a number of disagreements with whether that really is a very good cost-effective analysis, it is the analysis that is used, and we must, in fact, play by it. The ability to be able to bring bus riders over that bridge provides somewhere in the range of one quarter of the transit system user benefits that we are calculating for this to be able to put ourselves into very competitive position. So it's a very important part of it. But as is implicit in what I have said, it is not a bridge for trucks or cars. It really is an alternative mode bridge that I think will be tremendously important. I might note also that in the South Waterfront, even if we had unlimited budgets, the ability to be able to make the roadway system carry all the traffic that will necessarily be in and out of that area would be impossible. It is not a budget constraint. It is a physical constraint that cannot, in fact, be accommodated unless we have high-capacity transit. And the high-capacity transit of light rail is going to be tremendously important, not only to the South Waterfront, but the connection to the tram and to OHSU, certainly the largest employer within the city limits of Portland, is critically important. So with that, I would like to be able to recommend, again, approval of the locally preferred alternative. I think it has many, many benefits, and the commitments that we have made in the construction and employment of people locally and people of color, women, emerging businesses, is something that stands with this as well. Lastly, let me disagree ever so slightly with what Robert said. This is not the completion of a system. This is just another very important link in a continually expanding high-capacity transit system in our region. Thank you.
And I'd be happy to ask the question?
Yeah, fine.
I'm not trying to be rhetorical, but if you want to offer
I will.
Okay. Barbara, tell me about Barbara.
There are two studies underway. One, the study that's really within the city of Portland that Commissioner Adams referred to. There is also a high capacity transit study that is underway for the region as a whole by Metro. My personal judgment is that Barbara should be the next alignment. It is the growth that's occurring on the 99W, particularly into Tigard. Soon, by literally within 20 years, Tigard will be at its then projected population against today's population numbers about the fourth or fifth largest city in the state of Oregon. It is just unbelievable the amount of growth. And if you look at some of the Joe Courtright numbers, particularly in terms of where the creative class is, the young and the restless, I think, as he would refer to them as, that corridor is very, very important. So the ability to be able to connect that and to be able to connect those communities, I think, is very important. The regional connections in a more circular fashion need to be had as well.
Thanks.
Don Hanson, Chair of the Portland Planning Commission. On July 8th, we voted to unanimously support the locally preferred alternative, and it was an easy conclusion to reach for us. This is a great project. The staff did excellent work on this. I'd compliment the project design team. They gave us a lot of clarity about not just the overall system, but their detailed decisions on where stations should go. We also got a lot of great presentation material on the Willamette Crossing. You know, why is the bridge the way it is? We understand that completely and support it now. I'll just highlight three points in the letter of recommendation that we forwarded to council. First is extending the system to Park Avenue. When I first started thinking about this alignment, I thought it should just go to Lake Road. I changed my mind. as I heard more details about the project. And I know Milwaukee City Council voted 4-1 last night to extend it to Park. And I agree with that. And it's really the reservoir of parking that can occur at the end of the system at Park, a 1,000-car garage. When you look at the geography of that area, that garage would make sense and be very effective. So we support that strongly. The second item that I'll highlight is the Herald Street Station. You know, we know that the ridership performance is a very important statistic for TriMet to look at as they compete for funding. And we're pleased that they've shown this as a future station. We've heard and received testimony from Reed College and other people in the neighborhood. Obviously, they want this station. It's a shorter walk distance. So we hope future station means near term. Future station. And we know they're designing it accordingly, but it's very expensive and we'll see how it goes. The last point that I'll highlight is, where we go from here. As a commission, we'd really like to have the opportunity to review and comment on the bridge design and on the design for the system as it advances. Not that we're nervous about where it's going to go, quite the opposite. We're very supportive and we're very interested. And we think perhaps our setting is also a good setting for public comment on the system. So that concludes my remarks.
Thank you, folks.
I have one question for Fred, if I could. On the $750 million cap for federal funding under, I guess it's the New Starts program?
Yes.
Is there any chance, looking forward into your crystal ball, that cap could be raised?
Mr. Mayor and Commissioner Fish, the answer is yes, I think it can be. It has been in extraordinary circumstances in other settings. Let me give you two of those. One is New York City for the Second Avenue subway. It was a project that was a $4 billion project. Local funding was at $3 billion, meaning 75%, and the federal government chose to be able to put in about $1 billion, meaning going over that $750. Secondly, very recently in the full funding grant agreement discussions at Sound Transit, that is Seattle. Likewise, if they chose to be able to have extra contingency, they chose to be able to allow that to be able to go ahead. We have to make the case. It is not going to be an easy case to make, but I think we can make it. It is potentially doable. But whether or not our odds, I don't know what our odds are. I will be going back to Washington, D.C. and discussing this in a relatively near future, and I think we'll start getting a better picture. But it has been done in other settings, but it has also been used as a ceiling that has maximum amount that they've contributed. One last comment, and that is, in each of those projects, whether it be in Seattle or whether it be in New York City, the local share has been relatively smaller than what we are asking for. We are asking for essentially the maximum that they will allow. That is 60 cents on the dollar. That means that we do have a steeper hill to go up to be able to break that 750 cap.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Shapiro.
On deck.
I'm Howard Shapiro, and I'm a planning commissioner. And I would have been here earlier, but there wasn't a chair for me. Depressingly, I have nothing to add to the comments. I think that they are all exactly what I would have said, with one little addition, if you don't mind. The Planning Commission, in considering this, was concerned and continues to be concerned about the rapidity with which things are changing. Let me just use the words $3.50 for gas, which changes everybody's mind in terms of what and how you're going to get around. So looking at projections in the future around ridership and so forth are things that we're very concerned about in an optimistic way in terms of getting more people into public transport. So this project is welcome for a number of reasons, notwithstanding that fact. And let me reiterate something that Mr. Hansen said. It is no small number, in my opinion, that this is going to be a bicycle walking bridge. It opens the gate in Southeast Portland for a variety of people who were restricted in some way of getting across the river, and it's a very, very exciting part of this whole proposal. So thank you for that, and thank you for letting the commission continue to come before you and share what we think are honest and sincere deliberations and that we thoroughly and 100% stand behind. Next time, there should be another chair, so I would take your time. Thank you.
We'll make that happen.
Thank you.
How many folks do we have signed up?
We have six more people.
Okay, please call the first three.
First three are Dan Zelkow, Steve Satterley, and Gwen Milius.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you each have 3 minutes. Go ahead and begin.
Hi there, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Dan Zalko, and I'm here representing Portland State University. And we just wanted to be here to pretty simply say we strongly endorse and support this project. It's extremely exciting to us. The value to us is obvious. Just looking at the map, the connection to the science and education corridor or triangle, depending on how you draw your shapes with OMSI and OHSU, and to the southeast neighborhoods and Milwaukee. And we also wanted to share our appreciation for the staff at Metro, TriMet, and PDOT, who we believe have done an excellent job, especially in this past year, and the tremendous amount of public outreach efforts that have gone on over that past year. So thank you.
Thank you. My name is Steve Satterley. I'm here today to urge council to support and adopt the Portland-Milwaukee locally preferred alternative. I have a long history as a citizen in this project, going all the way back to 15 years, early 90s, until recently a 25-year resident of Southeast Portland, and also with leadership positions in the neighborhood activism community, both going all the way back to the Crothers Crossing Coalition and Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail Coalition. And Commissioner Adams, at times it was very near tragedy. Fell on some rocky shores there for a while with public votes and things like that. But I'm here to basically support this project as an individual at this point, since now I live in Northeast Portland. But my experience with Southeast indicates that the community's had a long history of supporting public transit. Ride transit in record numbers, repeatedly support transit improvements at the ballot box, and have been outspoken in the belief that light rail is the best transportation solution for this corridor. In addition to congestion relief and preservation of the neighborhoods, we also recognize that light rail can be a catalyst for needed redevelopment and infrastructure improvements in our neighborhoods. We want to stress that it's very important that it's serving major cultural and economic interests, including OMSI and the Central East Side Industrial District. And I'm very excited about the prospects for the multimodal bridge. That's going to be very exciting. So I'm here very excited because I've been kind of babysitting this thing for 15 years, and I am really, really excited that we're getting very close to fruition here. Thank you very much.
I'm Guinevere Milius, and I'm here in my capacity as a Portland Design Commissioner. And our chair, Lloyd Lindley, penned a letter addressed to you and asked that I come down today and read it into the record. Dear Mayor Potter and Commissioners, on behalf of the City of Portland Design Commission, I'm writing in strong support of the Milwaukee Light Rail Transit Project. The Portland Design Commission reviews development projects and land use plans through the Fundamental, Special District, and Community Design Guidelines. These guidelines frame community values that promote sustainability, green buildings and infrastructure, historic and cultural context, accommodation of higher density and more compact development, a more walkable and bikeable city, and especially transit-oriented development. Light rail transit, as originally conceived, radiating from the heart of Portland and radiating from the heart of Portland, and as it serves our centers and neighborhoods today, is an essential part of Portland's personality, our architectural heritage, and the permanence of place. The Portland to Milwaukee line is a fundamental part of a much greater transit system that will meet increasing community needs with each future segment. It will contribute to enhancing social equity and preservation of our region's livability. Light rail transit uses renewable energy and is a non-polluting transportation option that promotes sustainable life. The Milwaukee light rail line is vital to our region's mobility for moving our workforce. In conjunction with the forthcoming I-205 line, East Side Streetcar Loop, and the Portland Streetcar System Plan, this line is essential to maintaining and expanding our region's competitive advantage over other West Coast cities and within the global economy. It will link strong neighborhoods and communities to employment, recreation, the arts, healthcare, and other services. Time is of the essence, especially given demand and rising construction and travel costs. The Portland Design Commission encourages you to vote in favor of the locally preferred alternative and the necessary funding to expedite the project. And it's signed Commissioner Lloyd Lindley, Fellow American Society of Landscape Architects, and the Chair of the Portland Design Commission.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next three are Nancy Stuber or Paul Carlson. Also Marie Felipe. And Mark Williams.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes. Would you like to start?
Good afternoon. My name is Paul Carlson. I'm a senior vice president for the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry. Nancy Stuber, our president, intended to present today, but she had another unavoidable commitment. I'm here to speak for OMSI on behalf of this, in favor of this Milwaukee Light Rail project. As you know, OMSI provides a wealth of educational programs, camps, classes, teacher education, traveling science programs throughout the state and the region. And last year, 1.2 million visitors to our OMSI campus across the river. That number is very important. One, it's a record number for us, and we intend to grow that number even further. In the last 2 years, we've worked hard on light rail design and location issues. We're pleased to see that the preferred alternative route through the OMSI district is the Sherman Street route. This route was favored by all of the property owners in the district and does the most to serve transit riders as well as to preserve the opportunity for business to continue to thrive in our area. We continue to work with TriMet and Metro on related design issues, such as the width of the bridge coming into the east side, the elevation of the bridge at the waterfront, as we prefer a ground level entry, to be able to develop a pedestrian campus that we're striving for at OMSI. we believe all of these issues can be solved and that TriMet in particular has been very cooperative in working with us on these issues. OMSI looks forward to working with Metro, TriMet, and the governments of this area on this most worthwhile project. We believe that the future of the region and the county and the city and OMSI highly depend on its successful completion. You may know that OMSI purchased 6.5 acres of property just south of our current site. We have just completed the first phase of a master plan, which calls for a new museum, office, lab, and retail development in the range of 1 million square feet over the course of a decade or more. The success of that development, the jobs it will generate, the activity that will result are dependent on this new Milwaukee Light Rail project. We look forward to its grand opening in 2015. Thank you very much.
My name is Marie Philippi. I'm part of the Brooklyn neighborhood, and I've been on the board since 91. And I was on the first citizens working group for the first time this light rail came around. And I hope I'm still living when this one happens. I wished I thought about this. I have this T-shirt that said the whole neighborhood wore "I'd rather have Carruthers." Remember that? We had T-shirts out for that. And so this goes way back, and so I just couldn't resist this chance to come and plead again that this project go ahead. I am representing also the Brooklyn neighborhood today. We are the association, the board, and we remain committed to the construction of this Max light rail that would serve our neighborhood. And especially because I live a block off McLaughlin, and in 20 years that I've lived there, I can't believe the noise and the traffic of the freeway. And it is a freeway, the way it's constructed now. Although we are fortunate enough to have a lot of bus surface frequent, it gets bogged down by traffic congestion as well. The introduction of MAX service between Portland and Milwaukee will go a long way towards making transit service a much more attractive transportation alternative. Congestion, cut through traffic in our neighborhood, and more cars routed down McLaughlin, 17th, and Milwaukee Avenue pose an increasing threat to our livability. Something needs to be done. The Brooklyn neighborhood will benefit in other ways, though, from MAX. Much of the industrial and commercial land along 17th Avenue, where it's planned, is currently vacant or underutilized. The addition of light rail service to this corridor will likely spark new commercial and residential activities, as light rail has in other parts of the city. That's our hope. The construction of light rail would also bring other much-needed neighborhood improvements, such as road reconstruction, new traffic and pedestrian signals, which we are really lacking, rebuilt sidewalks, new street trees, and maybe even some public artwork. Please honor the commitment that was made a while back when the 205 got ahead of us somehow, and we are hoping that phase two, which was promised then, will happen. Thank you for listening.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I'm Mark Williams with OHSU's Campus Planning and Development Unit. Like our colleagues at OMSI and at PSU, we are here to support the resolution that's before you, support the locally preferred alignment, and also support the recommendation of the Willamette River Partnership Group that was chaired by Mayor Katz. I believe it was this council that first identified the desirability of establishing a true science and technology corridor in Portland back in, I think, 2002. What's exciting about this light rail line is really the ability to begin joining OMSI, OHSU, and PSU, and really making that dream a much more achievable reality. It fosters collaboration between these institutions in a very important way, we think. The fact that we're having conversations with the Oregon University System now about developing a collaborative building down on the waterfront, I think, really shows how these kinds of transportation infrastructure decisions can help promote positive goals that the city wants to achieve. We were also appreciative of taking part in the Willamette River Partnership Group. That was a very interesting process. We weren't all in the same place when we walked in there, but by the time Mayor Katz got done with us, we definitely were. It was a good result. The refined Porter-Sherman alignment is a good result for the city. It's a good result for the Science Quarter, and we urge your adoption today. Thank you.
That's all who signed up.
Does council have questions for any of the panelists? A resolution, please call the vote.
Adams?
Well, I want to thank Paul Smith and Maurizio LeKirk for your great work on this. We really appreciate it. Also want to thank Planning and the Planning Bureau and Commission, TriMet, and Metro. We will get this built. Now we got to go out and find a way to pay for it. Aye.
Fish?
I want to thank Commissioner Adams for his leadership, and also if former Mayor Katz is watching, enjoyed her testimony during the council informal. I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard?
I had a meeting here recently with some folks from TriMet where I observed that the discussion has become so different in the last decade with the respect to installing light rail. I was still stuck in the frame of mind from back when I was in the legislature when everybody fought light rail and it went on the ballot, and those of us who opposed those efforts by people not to have light rail really felt under siege. And it's taken me a while to get used to now the argument being, where's the next line going to be? I mean, it's really refreshing, and particularly in this other discussion we're having about the new I-5 bridge, and the discussion in Vancouver seems to have changed remarkably as well. So it's really refreshing for me from that perspective to recognize that the region has finally completely not only embraced light rail, but is now competing to get new lines, which may be a no-brainer to some that are newer to the area, but for those of us who have been here a while, recognize that as a brand new phenomenon. And so it's exciting. It is the future. It is what I think is going to be the primary source of transportation for working people in the future. And so it's a fun time to be here and participating in a decision that extends yet another leg of this fabulous transportation system in our region. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I'm very pleased to support this. I wanted to recognize Steve Satterley and Marie Philippi's and their neighborhoods' longtime involvement. And they were some of the first neighborhoods, Brooklyn and Eastmoreland, Westmoreland, you know, cheering for another light rail line way before it was fashionable to cheer for another light rail line. And they did have to take a promise that they would be the phase two of the I-205 light rail project. And I think we're here today to say we agree with this. This is the phase two. And we're prepared to not only approve this wonderful alignment and design of where the stations go and the bridge, but also to say that we'll be there with our financial commitments as well to make sure that we're, as Robert Liberty said, a generous partner in making this a reality. So I'm pleased to vote aye.
Potter.
This is one of those pieces that a lot of folks who've been involved with it for many years see as if not the final leg, which the TriMet general manager told us it wasn't, but that it appears inside of Portland it looks like it, because we now have spines in the system going out to all directions of the region. And, you know, as to future alignments, that's for another day. But today we're going to celebrate the fact that Portland and yesterday the city of Milwaukee took the step to approve this and to support it and to ensure that that the funding is there when the time comes. So congratulations to all the parties, to the leadership of Commissioner Adams, and I wish it the best. I vote aye. We adjourn until next week. Thank you.